program on the Ryerson station, CKLN, and it's brought some sharp criticism from Julian Fantino. The show is called
Bad Cop
Donut.
Bad
Cop, cop.
No. Donut.
Because I'm the law, and I rule.
With your weekly wrap-up of North American police brutality, misconduct, and corruption, I'm Ron Anisich at CKLN in Toronto. This is part two of special programming marking our first anniversary. In September 2004, when I started producing Bad Cop, No Donut, it was a reaction to the large number of stories that I was confronted with about police officers who broke the law. I had a feeling that others would share my concerns about the abuse we were all suffering at the hands of people who we pay to protect and serve us. As journalism, at least, this information is clearly a matter of public concern. When police officers rape, steal, beat their spouses, kill, sell drugs, violate the civil rights of citizens, sexually abuse children, abuse their authority, and destroy people's lives, people should know about it. For over a year now, we have documented what can only be described as an appalling amount of and variety of abuses committed by police officers. With very few exceptions, all of the news we report on Bad Cop, No Donut has already been reported in the media somewhere else. Still, we barely scratch the surface of the problem on this show. Sometimes the media do not report these stories. Last month, a police officer in Toronto was charged with sexually assaulting a woman at gunpoint. This story was barely mentioned in the local media. Every few weeks, I'm told of someone new who has been assaulted by police officers here in Toronto. In the overwhelming majority of these cases, there has not been a word about it in the media. Sometimes the victims of these beatings do not even file a formal complaint. Clearly, the problem of police abuse is far greater than we would be able to report in a show that covers all of Canada and the United States. If you find the amount of abuse reported on this program each week disturbing, then please know that the reality of it is much, much worse. In February, Bad Cop, No Donut became the focus of some mainstream media attention after former Toronto Police Chief Julian Fantino described it as hate-mongering and called for the program to be banned. On this week's show, we will listen to excerpts from interviews about the program, which I gave in the days and weeks following Fantino's remarks.
Toronto's Ryerson University has come under pressure from the city's police chief to ban a program on its campus radio station that airs negative stories about the cops. Toronto Police Chief Julian Fantino says the show fosters hate-mongering against officers by using the email address ihatepigs@hotmail.com. Well, the email address has since been changed by Ron Anisich. He's the producer and host of the show called Bad Cop, No Donut, and a self-described anarchist. He's on the line from Toronto.
Hello, Ron.
How are you?
I'm very well. Are you a hate-mongering fiend?
Well, Philip, I don't think so. The only one who I've heard express that opinion is somebody who I seriously doubt has ever heard the show.
What do you do on your show?
It's a weekly review of articles from the mainstream press about police officers who commit criminal acts or who are getting sued or who engage in acts of brutality and misconduct, that sort of thing.
Are these things, so they're documented? You're not making this up?
No. Yeah, everything is taken from a newspaper.
So where did this trouble start? What happened?
I've been producing the show in this format since September and haven't heard anything. Until we learned through the media that the police chief had some issues with the show.
Do you have an axe to grind against the cops? I mean, you've given up the email address, but it was ihatepigs.com.
Yeah, you know, about the email address, it's my feeling that it, especially in light of the fact that it's been getting a lot of attention that it doesn't normally get, the show that is, that it's sort of an unnecessary distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't want something that I see as fairly insignificant, like an email address, to take away from what I do on the show, which is discuss issues that are fairly serious in a fairly well-researched manner.
Does it reveal, though, an underlying bias against the cops? I mean, obviously you're not there to praise the work of the police departments around North America.
On CKLN, we have a mandate, which is common to community and campus radio stations across the country, and that is that we are licensed to serve communities that don't have a voice in the mainstream media. The police are not one of those groups. The police are very well represented and often in a flattering and positive light in the mainstream media, and they don't really need us to be doing that. However, many of the communities that we serve are communities that are directly affected to a greater proportion by acts of police misconduct.
Ron, what are you going to do about this? You broadcast presumably published stories about police abuse and what police officers do, and from time to time we see those amateur videos of beatings and that kind of thing. But as we have it here in quotes, the police chief there in Toronto, Julian Fantino, "I am disgusted that this kind of hate mongering would be directed at our police officers." So the chief wants something done.
Yeah, I understand that, but the chief seems to live in this fantasy world where he can decide upon using some standards that we're not privy to say something is hate mongering, when if he had taken the time to listen to the program, it clearly is not. I don't understand it. He seems to live in a world where he can snap his fingers and make something go away. But had he had a legitimate complaint, he wouldn't be attacking me in the media. He'd be writing a letter of complaint to the CRTC or consulting his lawyer for some kind of legal action. The fact is, I'm engaging in journalism. That's all I'm doing.
Yeah, it seems to us that if you Google police brutality stories and you get 50 of them, you could sit there and you could say, you know, the Pittsburgh Press is reporting that a cop did this, and the London Times is reporting them. So,
and that's more or less what I do.
Yeah, that's what we figured, and we couldn't quite see, but maybe the chief there has thin skin.
I would suggest he has a separate agenda. Tomorrow is his last day on the job, and I guess getting his face on TV one last time might be an explanation of what's happening. I don't think there's a rational explanation for what's happening.
I'm sure
in some world this makes sense to someone.
Have you heard from Ryerson University at all? They're trying to put a lot of distance between themselves and the radio station, saying it's
well,
not really...
Well, the reality is that there is a lot of distance between CKLN and the administration of Ryerson University. We have a close relationship with RISAC, which is the student union.
Okay.
We receive funding from them. They have members on our board of directors, and we're not trying to distance ourselves from each other.
One of the most popular shows posted on radio.indymedia.org is produced by a community radio station volunteer in Canada. Bad Cop No Donut doesn't have a set length. It can run from 20 minutes to an hour and 20 minutes, as long as its creator, Ron Anisich, thinks it needs to be. Anisich says the show grew out of a segment on his regular weekly call-in show.
I've been doing a show at CKLN for about 15 years, and there was a segment called Bad Cop No Donut that we started doing about, 5 years ago, or maybe a little longer even. It essentially consisted of me coming across things occasionally and ranting, maybe a couple stories a week, and then ranting on about them for an hour, and people would call. It was a live segment. And I guess at some point, roughly last summer, I guess, I got the idea that I wanted to really focus that part of the show. Here in Toronto, we have some serious issues with our police department right now, and the more I read about it, the more I saw connections to things that were happening in other places. So the idea became to connect all of these different incidents of police brutality and misconduct. Police abuse, generally, is the word I use to describe it, from across North America in as thorough a way as possible. For two reasons. One, to document the incredible amount of stuff that goes on every week. And the second part would be to make connections between things that happen in different places. For instance, every year our chief of police in Toronto does this dance in front of the media where he talks about how bad crime is, despite the fact that crime rates have been going down for the last 20 consecutive years, in order to increase the police budget. I've read subsequently to learning that about police chiefs all over North America who do this exact same thing. This is one of many examples.
What's the range of crimes that you find that or misconduct that police are involved in?
It seems to be ever expanding. That really depends more on them than me. I generally try to stick to cases where laws are broken or where there's an obvious question of conduct, like excessive use of force.
Do any particular crimes come to mind that seem to be astonishing that police are involved in?
Well, yeah, lots. I'm astonished every week. There are a lot of crimes that the police commit that do not get reported, and they are crimes that certain studies have indicated are massive problems within policing. One I can think of off the top of my head is domestic abuse.
A police officer in Rodell, West Virginia, has been arrested on charges of domestic battery and brandishing a weapon. The Associated Press says that Officer Daniel Ray Price has already been released on a $100,000 bond.
There are two North American studies that say that approximately 40% of police officers are domestic abusers. That's, to me, an incredible number. But the research seems sound, so clearly domestic abuse is rampant. I've been alarmed in the past couple months about how many police officers have sexually violated children. It seems like every week I can come up with a couple stories. You know, whether it's child pornography or direct sexual abuse in some cases. Like, to me, that's horrible.
Former Newbury, Massachusetts police officer has been found guilty of raping a young girl and has been sentenced to between 7 and 9 years in jail. A report from WCVB says that Officer Gary Clifford was found guilty by a jury on two counts of rape of a child.
There's a guy in Isle of Wight, Virginia, this week who sexually assaulted a 10-year-old girl. And I think that the people who live there are probably thinking they have the only cop in America who does something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case. I mean, I think every week for the past month or so, I've been able to come up with at least two stories that are very similar to that.
Whenever you see bad cops on TV, they're usually involved in drugs, and that's usually the only thing you see.
Yeah, cops do definitely deal drugs, steal drugs from evidence lockers. It seems to me that where there's an ability for the police to commit a crime or where an opportunity exists, it's usually exploited. Oddly enough, I'm reading this book called Our Enemies in Blue by Christian Williams. And this person documents these kinds of abuses going back to the dawn of modern policing, basically making a strong case that where there have been opportunities for authority, police authority specifically, to be abused, it has been.
This is not the way we do business in Kansas City. If people have issues with this police department, they should step up and step up strongly.
Last week, a police officer in Kansas City, Missouri, was charged with stealing money from a motorist after a sting was set up to catch him in the act. An Associated Press account of the story says that Officer Mershon Pope was arrested last week and charged with misconduct in administration of office. Last week, Pope was left alone with an undercover officer who was posing as a Latino driver with a poor command of the English language. The sting revealed that the officer stole money from inside the victim's car and inside the man's wallet. The car and wallet contained marked bills that were later recovered at the officer's home. Pope was suspended.
You find cops dealing drugs and selling drugs and stealing drugs and money, and they do pretty much what they can do.
Now, you have a separate segment of your program that's just about taser incidents.
I guess I just kind of noticed that there are a lot of allegations of brutality were the result of questionable use of these tasers. And I didn't report them all together at first. I didn't really make the connection. But the more I I guess eventually there were so many of them that I started kind of grouping them together. And lately there's been all kinds of, well, there have been all kinds of activists and scientists and even police agencies that are calling tasers into question. I think it's important to be dealing with that. A lot of the stories, I realize, aren't really directly related to the, you know, police abuse on the show. So I've actually questioned why I've been doing this as well. But I mean, it's valid from the point of view of these things kill people, and people have to know about it.
A coroner in San Mateo County, California, has determined that a stun gun was a factor in the death of a man in Pacifica in January. The victim died in hospital hours after being shot by police with a stun gun. Police in Putnam County, Florida, used tasers on high school students twice this week to break up fights.
There are many police departments and representatives of Taser International, the company that makes the weapons, that are going around saying that they don't kill people, they don't cause heart attacks, and the science behind this is faulty or questionable at best, depending on who you ask. So I guess the segment has evolved as the knowledge of what these weapons are all about has grown.
Mm-hmm. You had the fellow on your last program, James Ruggieri.
Yeah.
He's an engineer.
Yeah. Yeah, he's an engineer. He's done a lot of research, actually. He gave a pretty important presentation last month to an academy. I think it was the American Academy of Forensic Science. And part of the problem with tasers is that coroners have been unwilling to say that tasers have been a cause of death or even a contributing factor because of some pretty poor research and widely held fallacies, according to Mr. Ruggieri, at least. So his work is important, I think, primarily for that reason. He's enlightening people who make these determinations. And if the people who are now, the Securities and Exchange Commission in the United States is looking at Taser right now, and a branch of the Arizona government, for making false claims about their products, specifically that they don't cause deaths. When coroners start saying, as they did in California last week, that tasers are in fact a contributing cause in people's deaths, then it kind of blows tasers' claims out of the water. Well, not kind of, it does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it shows very clearly that the company is lying in its advertising material, it's making false representations about its products. And Mr. Ruggieri also points out that there are 25 lawsuits in the United States against Taser International right now alleging precisely this, among other things.
Have you ever been able to interview anybody at Taser?
I'm sure they have bigger problems to deal with, bigger fires to put out than some community radio guy from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, our police services board a couple weeks ago approved the purchase of new tasers for the Toronto police, so I guess they don't see me doing any damage. So what? I'm assuming that's their thinking. I don't know.
This is hate mongering.
Ryerson University has come under pressure from the city's police chief to ban a program on its campus radio station that airs negative stories about the cops.
In quotes, the police chief there in Toronto, Julian Fantino, I am disgusted that this kind of hate-mongering would be directed at our police officers. So the chief wants something done.
And you've come under fire recently for your program by the Toronto police.
Yeah.
Tell me about this.
Well, I'm not really sure what happened. What I do know is that the former chief of police, on his last week on the job, decided that in front of a TV crew, he was going to call me a hate mongerer. I guess he thinks the police are one of the groups that are protected under the charter. you know, hate crimes are, you know, something that we take really seriously, especially at CKLN. Most of the communities that we represent or that are represented at CKLN are, you know, often the victims of the exact type of hate that the police chief is accusing us of being mongerers of. Well, anyway, I checked the Human Rights Code and the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, the two pertinent documents when it comes to hate, and it turns out that the police aren't on it anywhere. Not a surprise. And the Charter of Rights spells it out very clearly. You cannot discriminate on the basis of race, gender, religion, sexual orientation, etc., etc. Occupation isn't even on the list, you know, and it shouldn't be. So I guess at the end of the day, the chief just did me this huge favor. Like, I can't see it any other way. I got to occasionally talk about police abuse issues with a much larger number of people than I had been up till that point.
You were in the mainstream media.
Oh, yeah. For it's actually, this was a month ago, and it's continued right up. It's still going on to people, it turns out. So I changed that.
We're going to talk to a Canadian talk show host. The police want to see silenced.
I think this is really important here. Why don't you tell us what the email address is that you were no longer going to use?
It was ihatepigs@hotmail.com. Mm-hmm. Now, I should say right off the bat that when I started producing this radio show, I didn't count on it having the audience that it had this morning.
Which goes beyond Toronto, by the way.
Yes, a little bit.
Four or five cities around North America pick up the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and generally it broadcasts to an activist-oriented audience, so I'm wasn't concerned with a word that I'm pretty sure that since my parents were kids, people have been referring to the police by that word.
Yeah, but when you say an active audience, it seems to me with an email address like ihatepigs@hotmail.com, this is not an active audience, this is a cop-hating audience, or they wouldn't respond to an email address like that.
I don't hate cops. I don't believe that people who listen to the show do either. In fact, I believe that the intention of the show is to point out things that are wrong that the police do, with the end goal being that they don't do that stuff anymore.
Yeah, I don't want to needle you forever on this, but then your email address would be concernedaboutcops.com. You know, it wouldn't
well,
be, I hate cops, or I hate pigs, excuse me.
I have a lot of friends with funny email addresses that I don't read a whole lot into, and they'd be in big trouble if I did.
What have you been hearing since a lot of us heard for the first time about your show? Since Chief Fantino suggested it should be taken off the air?
I have gotten more email than I've ever gotten in my life before, and it's all, with a very few exceptions, it's all been very positive and supportive, including emails from police officers. All kinds of people have been writing. Everybody is aware. All you have to do is turn on the TV every night on one of the privately owned broadcasters. They begin every local newscast with a story about a great thing that the mm-hmm. cops did that day. Mm-hmm. I don't see that there's a need to do it on a station that's licensed to do exactly the opposite.
We opened this conversation with your email address, which I suggested was a good reflection of the tone of the show. What have you changed it to? That might tell me more.
Ron@ckln.fm.
That's pretty safe.
I was going to make a point and choose I love cops for the new email address just to prove that email addresses are completely meaningless. And I think it is. I think that, you know, all of the attention has been focused on an email address and not on the fact that Rick McIntosh got himself arrested for the second time last week. I mean, these are police officers that are held in high regard, we pay good money to protect and service, who are being charged with crimes. I think we all ought to be concerned about that. And I think that if more people knew how often this happens in how many places across North America, I think they'd feel a lot differently about it than it's just a few bad eggs. I really don't think it is.
Ron Anisich is the host of Bad Cop, No Donut on CKLN.
He's not going quietly, though, and just the other day took a shot at a campus radio station here in Toronto because he considered their programming hate-mongering, particularly the show Bad Cop, No Donut. Just a litany of anti-cop stories gleaned from papers and press reports across North America. The host of that show is about to join us and explain his side of things.
The more I looked into it, the more I found a plethora of stories each week. And similar things I noticed were happening in different cities throughout North America, whether it was K's any of the various crimes committed by police officers, from drunk driving to domestic assault. I knew I was alarmed about it, and I had a feeling that other people might be as well. The difficulty is in being as thorough as I would like to be. There all seem to be things that pass by that I miss. Very often, listeners send stories in, sometimes that they have a personal connection with. So, you know, every program has a mandate, whether it's, yours or mine or, you know, your evening news program. They all have an editorial mandate. They all have a specific area that they deal with, just like your obituaries page does. This is an example I use all the time. You know, the obituaries page is a page of news about dead people and all of the, contributions that they made throughout their lives, unique stories, that kind of thing. Nobody writes to the New York Times and says, hey, you know what, living people make a lot of great contributions to the world, too, so why are there none of those on your obituaries page? Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. It's a matter of the statement of the statement of purpose of the show to start out with.
Right. Police abuse. That's what it's about. So I can't do a show about police abuse where I'm talking about the nice things that the police do. It doesn't make any sense any more than writing about living people on an obituaries page. That's my position, anyway.
Statistically, police officers are far more likely to be domestic abusers in the home. Their divorce rates hover between 75% and 80%. They experience higher rates of heart disease and other stress-related health problems, higher rates of alcoholism and other forms of addiction, higher rates of depression. Actually, more police officers kill themselves than are killed by criminals. And without singling you out, these are facts that I feel are sometimes overlooked by critics of police, because it seems that the officers themselves may be as victimized by their profession as the people who are beaten or sexually assaulted or cheated in any way by police. So I guess my next question is this. You've spent some time looking at the results of the law enforcement profession. Do you have any ideas concerning what about police work you think may be the cause of all this personal and interpersonal problems?
Yeah, I have, actually. I think it's the history of the organization itself. I think in order to understand why these things that you listed very eloquently a second ago, so I won't bother repeating them. The reason that those conditions exist are because they are institutional, systematic problems, as is racism in the police, which has been a hot topic with the police here in Toronto. I believe that if you're a police officer, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're racist, but if you're going to join the police force, you have to know that is a racist institution, and you are going to be conducting yourself in a manner that is consistent with the history and training of that organization, which is racist. I think the same thing applies to all of the other items on your list. Domestic assault. I don't necessarily think that police are any more likely to be domestic abusers going into their job. But I think you make a good point that the job itself may be at least partially responsible for that. I mean, it could be that there might be a certain type of person who's more likely to become a police officer, and that might be the problem. Without having the background in psychology, I'm going to have to defer to somebody else's expertise on that. His contract had come up for renewal with the City of Toronto, and the Police Services Board, which is the civilian body that oversees the local police, decided that they didn't want to renew his contract. Now, the reason for this is really up for debate. It's not a matter of public record, I don't believe. I would suggest that there are quite a few reasons for this. His performance had not been great. In fact, the image of the Toronto Police Department has had many major setbacks during his time as the police chief. It's really been ongoing throughout the entire time Chief Fantino has been chief, and it's fair to say these problems have actually existed for quite a long time. Once again, the history of the police, the modern police forces in North America is replete with this kind of behavior, and so it's hardly surprising that we're seeing it here. So they started calling me and telling me that they had heard police officers complaining about the show, but that was about it. And there didn't really seem to be a story, so I was talking to them and basically talking them out of writing something silly. Then all of a sudden, one day, the CTV guy calls me up and says, okay, well, we have the chief of police on camera talking about your radio show now, so you have, you know, implying that I had to talk to him as soon as possible, if I can sort of, as I said, putting them off as much as I could. I should point out that at no time did anyone from the Toronto Police contact CKLM, myself, the CRTC, anyone. There's no formal complaint made at any time. It was purely targeting in the media. Now, I don't know what the reasons for this are. I'm working harder on it. It used to be that the show would be just headlines, and now I'm starting to incorporate interviews into the show, which is something I had wanted to do before and started doing a little bit before.
Is he peddling hate or just a misguided radio host who just happened to get under the skin of Chief Fantino? You're about to hear directly from the horse's mouth. Has to do with Police Chief Fantino rising to the bait and considering a campus radio station show, Bad Cop, No Donut, to be hate-mongering. And yesterday I was saying to the chief, sort of expressing that over the air, he should not have gone for it, but nonetheless he's given credence and some profile to the show, whose producer and host, Ron Anisich, has joined us on the line this morning to explain where he's coming from. Ron, nice to have you here on the Oakley Show.
Good morning.
Yeah. You got to the chief. How does that make you feel?
Perplexed, mostly.
Why?
I don't know if the chief has heard my show, but he seems to be portraying it in a light that is not entirely accurate.
All right, well, you tell us in your words, what's the show about?
It's just a review of what happens in North America each week with, it's a review of the press on police officers that are charged with various crimes.
All right, but it's pretty one-sided then, wouldn't you say? You're banging the same note over and over and over again. Is that a show or a rant?
I don't editorialize on the show.
Well, no, but by the nature of being selective in what you portray, that is editorializing, isn't it?
Well, yes. The mandate of the show, I think, is this, that these incidents happen with alarming frequency across North America. I think that often when these kinds of stories are dealt with in the media, they're only dealt with as local stories, and they tend to get regarded as a few isolated bad eggs. And I would suggest to you that when you hear it week after week, it's alarmingly common. I would suggest it's an epidemic, and people, if anything is to be done about it, need to first be informed about it.
All right, listen, I don't mind, or I hope you don't mind, that Craig Brummel, who co-hosts The Beat, the show on after mine. Well, no, because, I mean, we're all about fair and balanced, aren't we? You're a journalist. Are you a journalist, by the way?
Yeah.
But if you're a journalist, then where is the balance?
CKLN has a very specific mandate to provide voices that aren't heard in the mainstream media. It's my personal opinion, I'm sure you'd agree, that the police are usually dealt with in a pretty favorable way in the media.
All right, let's get Craig in here. Craig, you've been listening. I mean, you're smirking here. Are you dismissing everything he has to say?
Do you know how many police officers are actually in North America? Like, how many are in Canada and how many are in the States?
Well, I know there's around 7,000 in Toronto. I mean, I know about the ones around me, I guess.
There's about 60,000 in Canada and about 250,000 in the States.
Yes.
And you do hear these stories, but when you talk epidemic, are you really giving it a fair chance there? I mean, do you know in Toronto alone that they have 5 million contacts with the public every year?
Yeah.
And the amount of complaints that come out is so minuscule. Do you really think you're giving them a fair chance by, like,
you're raising a few issues. First of all, there's the issue of the complaints process itself. A lot of people don't make complaints to the police because they are...
How do you know that, though?
Hmm.
How do you know that? Like, how many people do you talk to about that?
I talk to people about that an awful lot lately.
Well, like, how many?
I've gotten dozens of emails in the last 2 days.
Okay.
Where people are describing...
Okay, that's fair.
Are describing these kinds of things.
And what are they describing?
Well, they're mostly expressing their support of the work I'm doing, but they're also relating to me their personal experiences.
Well, can you give us
their interactions with the police. police.
I'm just trying to put in my head here.
I don't hate all police officers. I realize there are a lot of good police officers out there, but I'm thinking to myself, if I'm a good police officer, then I don't like cops who commit crimes either.
All right, but listen, you know, you use the operative word hate, and your own website is IHatePigs.com.
That is the former email address of the show, and I think that...
When did that stop, by the way?
Within the past week.
All right, but you see, I mean, the sentiment still stands, IHatePigs.com.
Well,
you telegraphed your hand here.
You know, John, you have friends that have email addresses that are a little odd, and if you took them seriously...
Well, all right, so when the chief's making this case that this is hate-mongering, you've just lend credence to his argument.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm saying it's an email address, and that if he listens to the show, he'll hear that it's not hate mongering. He's focusing on an email address, which I agree. It's an unnecessary source of attention, and it takes away from the message of the show, which is why I've decided to change it.
But I think the chief was wrong to respond to it in the fashion he did. Otherwise, we would not be talking to Ron Anisich right now.
I agree 100%.
My comment yesterday on this was, I think freedom of speech, I don't think it should be taken off, but I think you have to have your facts straight, Ron. And I think you have to give positive with negative. That's my issue here, is that there's so much good work being done out there. A vast majority of what, other than what you're being reported, and you take Toronto for an example, 5 million contacts a year, and less than 500 complaints. Those are pretty good numbers. You have to admit that.
We've got Ron Anisich on the line. He hosts a radio program on CKLN that caught the attention of Chief Fantino in not a positive way.
I think most people in Toronto, including several members of the police themselves, rank and file officers, I don't think anyone has a lot of respect for the former police chief. He has this tendency to... I think he speaks before he thinks fairly often. And in this case, with me, he didn't even have a legitimate complaint that we can tell. And last week, Julian Fantino, the chief of police here, for people who don't know, called my show hate-mongering and said it should be taken off the air, which is pretty interesting. Apparently, he thinks he's in mid-20th century Russia and his name is Stalin or something. And in the real world, the police chief doesn't get to snap his fingers and have something banned. They were operating on the basis of complaints from specific officers who had got in touch with them, or the reporter from the Toronto Star said that they had overheard police at headquarters talking about my show or something along that line. And my understanding is that the man who shot these officers was, well, he's clearly suicidal, if what they say about him killing himself is true. And to me, that's indicative of, you know, a larger policing issue, which is how the police deal with people who suffer from mental illnesses. This has been a problem for us here in Toronto. We've had people with mental illnesses killed by the police. When you're in a situation where you're dealing with somebody with an illness, whether it's a broken arm or a mental illness, there are certain protocols, certain training that it's necessary to have when you're going into a situation.
Mm-hmm.
The police are uniquely unqualified to be dealing with people who are mentally ill, simply from the fact that they don't have the background in psychology or psychiatry that one would need. I strongly favor legalization of all drugs. I know that that's an even slightly unpopular position amongst my peers.
Oh, it's prohibition does not work.
Not among your peers in BC.
Not among your peers here. And in reality, the only people there's only two bodies really that profit from drug prohibition. That's one, organized crime, and two, police budgets.
Yes. Well, we have a serious problem budget-wise with our police here in Toronto. They are currently spending over a fifth of the annual budget in the city of Toronto, which is an amount of money that comes close to $700 million a year.
But why is it that we see such a media tribute and such an outpouring of grief, and yet when a young Native kid is killed by the police, or when somebody is beaten to death, it rarely makes the newspaper, and if it does, it ends up in Section J.
It's very funny, because on the same day that I was front page news on the Toronto Star, if you jumped to the back pages of the Metro section, there was an article about the guy the police killed the night before. I don't understand the reasons for this. I don't understand the logic exactly.
It certainly maintains our current level of police state, I guess.
Well, I think the media and the police are very closely tied. All of the journalists who talked to me originally before this story broke all said they were contacting me based on having heard from the police first. And as a journalist, this is of concern to me because I don't think it's appropriate for an organization that, A, in Ontario, they're not allowed to engage in politics. That's a contravention of the Police Services Act here. Doing this has come very close to crossing that line.
We have had a couple of people phone in the past, about a month ago maybe, saying that they didn't think it was right that we aired this program.
Oh my.
And no, and then what happened was words sort of got out about this, and we had people come down to the radio station with the express purpose of registering their unflinching support for the program. And, I mean, we don't get that happening very often. People phone in, they drop emails, but we don't get personal visits just for that purpose. So you're doing a hell of a job, and I really hope you keep it up.
You know what? I appreciate all the support that I've been getting from not only from you guys, but we've had similar things happen at CKLN. People have come by. People have spontaneously donated money to the station. I've received very few negative responses, even with all of the attention. I'm convinced I'm doing something right now, so I'm
cool.
Probably going to keep it up.
Ron Anisich, the host and producer of Bad Cop No Donut, and you can hear that every Thursday morning right here on CHOY at 10:30 a.m. right after Between the Lines.
Locally, Ron Anisich is a volunteer host and producer at CKLN 88.1 FM, and he's raised the ire of Toronto Police Services Chief Julian Fantino for a program called Bad Cop No Donut, which Chief Fantino has pressured Ryerson to ban. Joining us on the line is Ron Anisich. Ron, what was your reaction when you saw the headline in the Star?
Well, I knew it was coming for a little while, actually. I was a little mystified by the chief's characterizations of my work. I don't think they're very fair. I also don't think he has a legitimate complaint. I mean, as far as having the show banned is concerned, I don't think there's anyone who really has suggested that seriously, aside from him. I think he's the only one who thinks that that's an achievable goal. Right?
Mm-hmm. What's your purpose on air? What do you do?
I document cases of police brutality and misconduct and corruption across North America. It's my thesis, I guess, that these things happen a lot more frequently than a lot of us know about. And it's a problem that's worth dealing with as a whole. Mm-hmm. In the media, these stories often get treated as isolated incidents, and I don't think that's very accurate. While the media does report on cases of police abuse, it's the context. The question I ask myself frequently is, why is there only one Rodney King when there are so many Rodney King? I guess what I'm doing is just trying to remedy that situation in the small way that I'm able to with the meager means that I have at my disposal.
I mean, would you think or would you equate the Toronto Police Service with the kind of corruption and sheer evil that I read about the scandal at Rampart Division in Los Angeles?
Well, we've had our own scandals here in Toronto with our police. There's an ongoing RCMP investigation. It's been going on 2 years already. There have been several dozen charges laid against Toronto police officers as a result of this investigation, and that's one investigation.
So yes, we have had our problems at the Toronto Police Service, and we've had quite a political battle brewing and continuing between the Toronto Police Services Board, the civilian oversight. Are they not doing the job they should be doing?
Well, the thing about civilian oversight, from what I gather from people who have written and studied civilian oversight, it's a process that needs to be renewed vigorously, and it's been proposed by one person I was reading recently that this is a cycle that needs to happen every 5 or 6 years. Ultimately, a police oversight commission or civilian oversight commission can only be as effective as it is able to keep its distance from the police. If they're too close with the police, then they can't really be seen as objective regulators.
Do you respect police? Do you respect the work they do? Do you respect their role in our society? I know you're a self-described anarchist.
This is true. Although I'm an anarchist, there's the world I'd like to live in and the world I live in.
Why don't
and
you
I'm,
come?
I'm
come
fully
on.
Cognizant.
Hey, you're 38, Ron. Come on to the dark side. Come on over here. Come on. Raise a family. Have a job. Pay some taxes. Die of coronary artery disease. Come on, Ron.
I'm probably already a work in progress on a couple of those things you just mentioned. Well, first of all, I don't think that my political beliefs have anything to do with my journalism any more than who you voted for in the last election has anything to do with what you do at work.
Right.
And I do believe that the police fill a valuable social service function. I appreciate that they are there to direct traffic in times when it's necessary and occasionally risk life and limb in the line of duty to protect and serve people. I don't think that's all the police do, however, and that's where I think we run into differences in opinion.
What does an anarchist do when a crime has been committed against him or her, Ron?
I guess it would depend on the crime. I've called the police on occasion in the past. I think that they serve a necessary social function. It's just that when they go beyond that I would question the legitimacy of their role in society.
Incidentally, this is the thing that bothers me the most about this, is that there are mainstream media organizations that whose work is clearly being controlled by the police. Both the CTV reporters that I spoke with and the reporter from the Toronto Star both were quite open with the fact that they were contacting me based on complaints from police officers. In the case of the CTV, they freely admitted it. In the case of the reporter from the Toronto Star, she claimed to have overheard police officers talking about it at police headquarters.
Have they contacted you as a chief, contacted you personally or anything at all?
This is another thing that we find reassuring. We've been told by our lawyer that normally in cases like this, they will send a letter to a news organization, a letter of complaint, a formal letter of complaint. But in our case, they have not done so. We feel pretty strongly that they don't have the grounds to complain.
I mean,
all I do is tell people what's already been in the newspaper. They're not going after the newspapers, so he hasn't done a spectacular job. There's a reason he's not going to be the police chief anymore. I would suggest that this is an attempt to get people to not focus on those reasons and instead focus on this guy who does a radio show on a community radio station at 6 in the morning. Knowing what I know about the mainstream media, I'm not encouraged that I'm going to be treated all that fairly.
Right.
They're concerned that I'm an anarchist. They're concerned about the email address of the show. And I don't know about you, but when I started doing this work, I was astounded by the number of stories that I was able to come up with each week. To me, it's alarming.
This is a typical pattern. When there's bad news, they attack the messenger. Right? So it becomes about the messenger rather than about the message.
That's all for Bad Cop, No Donut this week. Thanks to Chicago Indie Media Radio, WLUW, Free Radio Santa Cruz, CHLY, WRIR, and everyone else whose work was borrowed for this program. Next week, we will resume our normal programming with a look at what has happened since our last regular show. In the unlikely event that this program did not answer any questions you might have, or to send us other comments or story ideas, send an email to ron@ckln.fm. Bad Cop No Donut is produced at CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto and can be heard in Wausau, Wisconsin on WNRB 93.3 FM. I'm Ron Anisich. I'll see you for our usual review of the news next week.
Come on, baby. Come on and do the pig. Yeah. Come on, baby. The pig you really dig. You put your hands on your hips and let your backbone shake. Come on, do the pig. You say it's really great. Come on, everybody. Come on, do the pig. Come on, everybody. It's really going big. You put your hands on your hips. Come on. put your hands on your hips and let your backbone shake. Come on, yeah, do the pig, it's great. Come on, everybody, come on and do the pig.